And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I've known a lot of great men in my life, and I'm sure that you can say the same. A lot of people that you probably have looked up to. Parents, relatives, associates, whatever the case may be. But none of them is as great as Jesus. None of them can take away the sin of the world, but Jesus can. In fact, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Notice what he says, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. In Ephesians 1, 20 and 21, the Bible says that God the Father put all things under the feet of Jesus, gave him to be the head of all things over his body, which is the church. And then in Philippians chapter 2, as you think about Jesus and who he was and what he accomplished and his name, notice what Paul wrote to the church of Christ at Philippi, Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Your name is significant to you. It's important to you. Most people associate their name with good things, or they like to be remembered. They like their name to be remembered. But think about this, that Jesus has been given a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus' name is above all names. Let's sing together about it.
Let's sing. Jesus' name.
John 3:1, the Bible talks about, behold, how that the love of God has enabled us to be the sons of Him, His children. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Jesus made it clear that He loved the disciples and that He loves us. John 13:34, that you love one another as I have loved you. In John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Do you love Jesus? How would you answer that? Would you respond in the affirmative and say that I love Jesus? Do we love Him? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in the book of 1 John chapter 4, and in verse 19, we love Him because He first loved us. If we say that we love Jesus, I hope that we can say that we are following Him, that we're obeying Him in everything that He would have us to do. I love the hymn, oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing together.
There is a name I love.
Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4, notice what Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, stated. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 4. It's not the reference that I wanted, but nonetheless, to whom coming as unto a living stone, or some versions say a lively stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Because of what Jesus did, we can even gather together in a fashion like this and be in a position to be able to offer our spiritual sacrifices to God. Come with me to Isaiah 53. No doubt most of you are familiar, if not all of you, with Isaiah the 53rd chapter. Isaiah 53, and notice, if you will, the first 7 verses. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Sound familiar? Remember Acts chapter 8? The conversion of the eunuch of Ethiopia was reading from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and he didn't understand what he was reading. He said, "How can I accept some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip, that Philip would teach him, and Philip did. There's not a doubt in my mind that we cannot fathom how much Jesus suffered so that we can be saved. Truly, he bore it all.
Thank you.
can't help but to be thankful for Jesus our Savior. I made this statement in a recent sermon that someone has once said that Rome did not invent execution by crucifixion, but that they perfected it. I can't imagine the anguish and the pain that would come along with being executed, slaughtered, put to death by crucifixion, let alone the torment that led up to that, being scourged, and all the things that Jesus went through, and yet to think that Jesus did that willingly. Wasn't made to do it, didn't have to do it, wasn't forced into it, but He willingly did it. In John chapter 10, notice verses 17 and 18 with me. John 10, 17 and 18. Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Now notice verse 18. "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." I already made mention to you that the Bible says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends." Jesus knew what was going to happen when He went to Jerusalem. Remember that at the Mount of Transfiguration? When Moses and Elias was talking with Him, the Bible says that they talked about His decease that He would accomplish at Jerusalem. In Hebrews chapter 12, and then verse 2, we talked about this morning. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him..." Not only did He know what type of death He was going to die, but He knew what was going to come after that. "Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God." Again, we can't imagine what that must have been like. Every Lord's Day, since the first century, since the church began in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, Christians have gathered together like we did this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper, to remember His death, to show forth His death, and we'll do it till He comes again. The rugged cross of Calvary. Let's sing together.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame, and the love that old cross
2 Corinthians 8, and then verse 9. The Bible says, I speak not by commandment, verse 8, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. In Romans 5, verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. When you think about the greatest story ever told that we sang about tonight, the power of His blood, His name, His love, what He bore, His cross, and so much more, we can't help but to be amazed. I hope we can each say and sing out like we mean it, I stand amazed.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene, and wonder how He could love me, a sinner and live unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and much
as sure as Jesus ascended to the Father, He's one day coming again. I hope that with an excitement we can long for that day. We may die before that happens, I don't know. But nevertheless, He's coming again, and every eye shall see Him. In Acts 1, 9 through 11, a reference that seems I've used that many times. When Jesus ascended from being in the presence of the apostles and a cloud received them out of their sight, the Bible says that two men stood by them in white apparel, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner." In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "Behold, the day of the Lord so cometh," or will come, "as a thief in the night. In Revelation 1:7, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, they also which pierced him, and all nations shall wail because of him. In Revelation 22, and in verse 20, the Bible says, he which testifieth these things saith, listen to this, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If he were to come tonight, would you be ready? Sometimes people think it'll be a long time before he comes. That was a problem in centuries gone by, 2 Peter 3, that there were scoffers, mockers, who would say, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. He may come sooner than what we anticipate. But be rest assured that Jesus is coming again. Let's sing together of that.
Troublesome times are here.
Would you be ready? Would I be ready? I hope that we can say that we would be. When you obeyed the gospel of Christ, were you full of zeal that you wanted to go out and excited to tell others about the decision that you made and to show them the Lord and to bring them to Christ? We've talked about in recent lessons about the importance of teaching. In Luke chapter 5, notice what the Bible says in verses 10 and 11. Luke 5, 10 and 11. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. In Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus commissioned the apostles to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember that? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In Proverbs 11, and in verse 30, the Bible says, he who winneth souls is wise. I'm excited to tell people about Jesus. I love the opportunity that God blesses us with, that we can share the good news of a risen Savior, that men might hear it, believe it, and obey it, that when their earthly pilgrimage is over, heaven will be their eternal home. Let's sing together about a soul winner for Jesus. point, we'll bring this sermon song to a close. I've enjoyed this sermon and song arrangement. I hope that you can say the same. These men that have led these songs, each and every one of them did an outstanding job. And I hope that you'll purpose that you will not leave this building tonight without offering to them words of encouragement. If you like this service and you want to do it again, maybe we can do that. Let these men know about that. And if they're on board with that, I'll be on board with it too. You can't help but to sing about Jesus and to think about what the Bible says about it. And then I hope to want to be compelled, after hearing the proclamation of the gospel and then to sing about it, to want to put that into action and do something about your soul's condition if you've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Maybe you're in this audience tonight and you've not done that. You've not decided to follow Jesus. Will you make that decision tonight? Will you decide this very evening that you're going to follow the Lord? Jesus wants all men to come to Him. To come to the Father through Him. But He extended that invitation in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He'll give rest when no man came. But Jesus came. "I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For My burden is easy." My yoke is easy. My burden is light. In Matthew 16 and in verse 24. "But He answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." I'm sorry, that was Matthew 15. That should be in Matthew 16, 24. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." By the way, the gospel was preached to the Jews first and then to the Gentiles, and it went out into all the world, Colossians chapter 1. "But if any man will come unto the Lord, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." So what's it going to be for you tonight? Have you